So this is Parsha opens up talking about the Machatz HaShekel, and we know that the concept of Machatz HaShekel, so we find a similar theme throughout Tanakh with David HaMelech, when he counts the people and he gets punished ultimately for that. And the question is, as the Ramban addresses both here as well as in Parsha Bamidbar, when there's a census going on, which is, why wasn't Moshe punished for counting Klal Yisrael, where David was strongly punished, severely punished for counting them? So there are a lot of different answers that the Mefarshim give, which hopefully we'll touch on a few of them now. So, first of all, the Chasam Sofer notes that by Machatz HaShekel, there was something inherent about Machatz HaShekel that protected them from any potential harm that would come from counting Klal Yisrael. If you look at in Sefer Shmuel, when David counts Klal Yisrael, he doesn't use a Machatz HaShekel, he uses charsis, he uses some kind of piece of pottery or something like that, so he didn't have the same protection that was afforded to Moshe when he was counting Klal Yisrael. The concept of the Machatz HaShekel, so the Chasam Sofer points out, is a tziruf. Not only do you need to have a person who is sitting by and not doing averos, but is also actively being mekayim mitzvos, and then it's going to be like the Machatz HaShekel kind of symbolizes the fact that you've mekayim taryag mitzvos. Also, the Chasam Sofer points out that we know from the Gemara, from Tainus Gemara above Metzia, points out the pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, it says ba'asa mecha v'chol mishlach yadecha. So the Gemara says that in a bracha mitzuya el bedavar hasamui min ayin. The Gemara says that bracha only comes to something which is hidden from the eye. So the Chasam Sofer points out that b'davka Machatz HaShekel was not clarifying anyone's age, meaning there was a range between 20 and 60 that you have to give Machatz HaShekel for, but the Machatz HaShekel didn't specifically clarify anyone's age. So also, it wasn't really in the form of a census. It wasn't really, I mean, it was kind of like a census for a certain range of Klal Yisrael, and since it was a Davar HaSamui Min HaAyin, therefore, that was the bracha that came through the Machatz HaShekel. But David was punished for doing it, the Chasam Sofer points out, because when David did it, it wasn't an absolute chiyuv. I mean, Hashem told Moshe to count Klal Yisrael. So even if it is an ayin hara to do it, but Hashem told you to do it. By David did it on his own accord, and he brought about this ayin hara. We know also Rashi quotes the Medrash, that Moshe was niskash, and Moshe had a lot of difficulty understanding the concept of Machatz HaShekel, and Hashem threw in the fire. We've had a similar concept by the menorah and by a few other places also where we see this. So the Chasam Sofer points out that Moshe's problem, what Moshe had difficulty understanding was, how could tzedakah save you from a negev? And what is it about the Machatz HaShekel that's saving you from this ayin hara? Until Hashem showed him from underneath the Kisei HaKavod, he showed him the Machatz HaShekel, that the Machatz HaShekel affords a certain type of protection, not like regular tzedakah, something inherent about the Machatz HaShekel, which protects. Also, the Chasam Sofer points out that the word Yisrael, right, Kisei HaKavod Rosh B'nei Yisrael, Yisrael, if you flip around the letters, becomes Rosh Li. What does that mean? So he says when you're Kisei HaKavod Rosh, when you count every head of Klal Yisrael, that is an allusion back to what we see earlier in Sefer Shemos, when Klal Yisrael say Nitna Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayim, and they want to go back to Mitzrayim, and then it's just going to be Li. In other words, then it's going to be when you get rid of the Rosh of Klal Yisrael, when you get rid of the Rosh, when they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim, all you have left is Li. The Li is the Kofar Nefesh. Now Klal Yisrael has to pay a redemption for having wanted to go back to Klal Yisrael, and as Chazal pointed out, also for having wanted to establish an Avodah Zarah. And the Chasam Sofer also points out that the significance of the Machatz HaShekel was that you have to be mechaber Torah and mitzvos together. You can't have one without the other. Machatz HaShekel kind of bridges both of those gaps. Also, the Chasam Sofer notes that in the times of Shaul, or we said already with David HaMelech, they would count it using these pieces of pottery, because he says there the people were already in the process of dying. The Magif had already began, but by Moshe he says there would have been a Negev had they not counted with Karsus, meaning in the times of Shaul there was already a plague happening in the world, and therefore it only increased the problem. By Moshe there was nothing happening, and therefore not counting with Machatz HaShekel would have started some kind of plague. There's a further machlokas which is actually relevant to the fact that it's Purim tonight. So machlokas about giving Machatz HaShekel in general. When does the mitzvah to give Machatz HaShekel begin? So machlokas in the Mefarshim here, whether it begins at the age of 13 or at the age of 20. And then other Mefarshim say we give between the ages of 20 and 60, because 20 and 60 totals the number. There's always in a medrash, which actually the Kliyaka quotes the medrash in much greater detail. Chasam Sofer alludes to this medrash, where medrash says that the number 20 shekel is a reference to the fact that Yosef was sold for 20 shekel, and the 30 shekel is a reference to the thing that your sword gores and kills an eved, and 50 shekel is for onus, and 100 shekel is for motzi shemra. So all these different numbers the medrash kind of arbitrarily throws out. The Chasam Sofer tries to connect all these numbers. Kliyaka also does tries to connect these numbers to somehow to significant events that happened to Klal Yisrael through the Machatz HaShekel. So that's kind of that's what Chasov is aiming at over there. We know also the famous Gemara, the other Brachos, where the Gemara tries to figure out what exactly David did that was wrong. So the Gemara says that David's problem was that he called Hashem a Mises. The Gemara goes to Pasuk, and say for Shmuel, ki yisischa Hashem. So the Gemara says that David referred to Hashem as a Mises, and that was really the issue. Not necessarily that he was counting Klal Yisrael, the issue was more that he was called Hashem a Mises. So what does that mean to call Hashem a Mises? Sounds like a really, really horrible thing to do. So the Chasov explains that by the fact that he was calling Hashem a Mises, he was implanting these thoughts into a person's heart. But he says that we have the bechira to decide whether we want to follow in this path or not, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish or reward us for going in the right or wrong path. We know there's a very famous idea which is developed from Parshas Tetzaveh, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear anywhere in Parshas Tetzaveh. More specifically, the Chasov notes, it does not appear in the context of the Klei HaMishkan, except in the beginning of this week's parasha by the Kior, by Yidaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Ve'asisa Kior Nechoshes. So the question is, why does Moshe's name all of a sudden appear by the Kior, where it did not appear anywhere by the Klei HaMishkan? So the Chasov Sofer notes that the reason why his name doesn't appear generally by the Klei HaMishkan is because we know that in this week's parasha Moshe says, Mechini Nami Sifra Chayesh Kasavta, to wipe me out, to wipe my name off the Torah, so as kind of like either a kiyum of that, so his name doesn't appear at the Tzaveh. But he says that he's mentioned by the Kior because the Kior represents the Meisota. And we know the Psukim say that after the Ego, right, Moshe, in this expression, Moshe ground up the ego and he sprinkled it on Klaizo, which is a very similar process to the Meisota, which entails the water of the Kior. So therefore, that the Kior is kind of associated with the action that Moshe did, and therefore he's mentioned in the context of the Kior. Another Chasov points out, we know the Gemara at the beginning of Sota says that a person who doesn't wash the Tilas Yadayim, or a person who's Mezalzel by Tilas Yadayim, it's Kiilu Baal Eishes Ish. So the Chasov says, what's the connection? So the Chasov Sofer says that Hashem is not going to forgive you because the Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim says, Laman Sifos Harava Es Hatzmeya, which in the context of Nitzavim is talking about a certain Klala that befalls Klal. So here he says it's literally, it means that when the thirst overtakes, when the famine overtakes your thirst, it's a person who's so hungry that he can't wait to eat before he washes, such a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, Hashem is not going to forgive him. And it says the same is true also, the Gemara also makes the same association regarding a person who marries off a very young child to a much older person, says that the child is going to be mizanis. Is the same thing as true also, a person who can't wait till the kid grows up, so you're bringing about the same issue. And then also we know the Din of the Gemara in Sota says it's beferish that the only way that the Mayim HaMa'arim of the Sota will be effective is if Vinikaha Ishmei Avon, is if the husband himself is innocent. The husband himself is not having an affair. If he himself was having an affair, so then the waters are not going to check anything. So the Chasam Sofer writes that the man himself was Nechshal Ba'avon Eishes Ish. So he says, then even if the wife was Mezana, the Mayim HaMa'arim are not going to be effective. And he says, the same is true for a person who's Mezazel Ben Atila Sadaim. He says the Kiyam is, the person who's Makbet about watching Atila Sadaim is going to be protected from Snus, because that's the correlation that the Gemara makes. Then we know the parsha goes on to describe the different ingredients of the Shemen HaMishcha. So the Chasover talks about if you hold the Shemen HaMishcha was made b'derech nis, so how can you say that the Torah says the Torah is an Isser Ish Asher Yerkach Kamo V'Asher Yitem Menu Azar V'Nechras Me'amah. The Torah says there's an Isser Doraisa to replicate the Shemen HaMishcha. The Torah says if you do and you use the Shemen HaMishcha, then you're Chayav Karis. So the Chasover says, but if you hold the Machlokes and Gemara in Krisos, if you hold the Shemen HaMishcha was made b'derech nis, then it's impossible to replicate the Shemen HaMishcha. You can't do it. You're not Hashem. How can you possibly replicate the Shemen HaMishcha? So the Chasover over writes something fascinating. He says that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't rely on a nis, and he told Moshe, I want you to do a ma'isa rokeach. I want you to make the Shemen HaMishcha. It's all b'derech nis. How are you going to get the measurement exactly right? That's all b'derech nis. Okay, you have to put in some mishtatas. You have to do something to make it look like you're actually, you know, working on the Shemen HaMishcha. You wouldn't have to rely on a nis, because he says that really there's enough Shemen HaMishcha to go around for the Kalim and for the Kohanim and for the Mishcha, for everything, because the Shemen HaMishcha was there to anoint literally everything. The Kohanim, when they started doing that, the Kalim before they were used for the first time, they all required Shemen HaMishcha. So he says, at the time, this was pre-Chet HaEgel, so he says it wouldn't be needed Lidoros. You wouldn't need the Shemen HaMishcha Lidoros pre-Chet HaEgel. But he says if Klal Yisrael sins, then the Pasuk says Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh Yezel Li Lidoros Eichem. After Chet HaEgel, so the Shemen HaMishcha became something which is going to be required Lidoros, and Hashem did not want to make this Tanai originally with Moshe out of kavod for him, even though he knew Klal Yisrael was going to end up sitting by the Chet HaEgel. So after the Chet HaEgel, the Shemen HaMishcha became something which is necessary Lidoros. The purpose of the Shemen HaMishcha, the Chasam Sofer points out, is to elevate the Neshama and not to put it on the guf. The whole point of the Shemen HaMishcha is that it's supposed to get inside of you, not just on your guf. And Aaron, though, there's a fascinating Gemara in Krisos. The Gemara says that there's a din. Let's say you have a child who's a Yisrael, and his grandfather's maternal grandfather is a Kohen, right? If his mother is a Bas Kohen, so his grandfather will be a Kohen. So the Gemara talks about how if the Gemara says that a Yisrael whose grandfather's a Kohen can his grandfather put the oil of Truma on his beard, and the oil can flow down, and the young kid can enjoy the oil. It's not considered Mi'ilah. So the Gemara talks about, because the pasuk says Keshemen Hayored Al Zikan Aaron Tehillim. So it talks about the oil that comes off of Aaron's beard. So you see that it doesn't. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean that as long as it's not gazela, because his grandfather really owns oil because it's a Kohen, so it's not considered to be Moel Behektish. So it says that's why Aaron was not called the Moel Behektish when he was using the Shemen Ameshcha. And anyway, Aaron was right to use this because he was the paradigm of Oyeshal Verodeshal, and therefore he was the one who deserved to be the Kohen Gadol. We know also that Moshe is described in Parashat Ba'aloscha as the Anav Mikol Adam, so therefore he wasn't fazed when Miriam speaks Lashon Hara against him, and therefore he could still daven for her when he has Tila, Kel Narefan Allah. And he says, even the biggest Anav, he says, is Nichshal and Kas, and that's what the Chassid Sofer points out over here. He says that in certain cases, again, there are different, Kas is always compared to Avodah Zarah in the Gemara, so he says that even the biggest Anav in the world sometimes has issues with Kas. Then the Chassid Sofer points out a fascinating idea. He says that Shemen, oil, is something which is what he calls Hamshachas or Milamala, something which comes, it has its Hashpa, comes from Shamayim, and he says that's true both for a Navi or for a Chacham, who's referred to as Mishichi, and he'll always refer to a Navi or a Chacham as the anointed one of Hashem. And he says certainly that's true for a Melech and for a Kohen Gadol as well, and he says that the oil is an endless flow. The Gemara Megillah points out that part of Chana's Nevuah for David, Shlomo, Yehu, and Eli, they were referring to the different ways that they were anointed. Some were anointed with Shemen, and some were anointed with Bepach, and some were anointed with Keren, but both of them were anointed with Shemen. All the kings that were, no matter the specific kli they used, they were all anointed Dafka with oil. Then he says also that he takes a little bit of a shtuck at Chidushei Torah. He says that sometimes when a person says over a Chiddush, so it has within it what he calls Tarovos She'enu Mechuvan Mamash Ala Emes. In other words, sometimes you have things that are mixed in that are not necessarily true. A person wants to say a fancy, fancy Lamedus, a fancy Chakira, so sometimes he'll say something which isn't probably Emes just in order that it should fit into his Chakira. But he says, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Torah, that's Mamash Emes. Everything is Emes Lamitu from what Hashem gave us. And he says that's the din. Is there a Bal Tosef and Bal Tigre? You can't add or subtract anything from what Hashem gave us, because that's all mamish mechuvan ala emes. There's no room to falter within what Hashem gave us. We know also that the Torah is placed within the Aron, which is in the Kodesh Kadashim, and the Aron is referred to in Tehillim, it's referred to in other places as Shem Shem Hashem Tzvakos. That's what the Aron is referred to as, because he says you can't add on anything to the Torah. And we know also that the Nun, we know this famous of the Gemara Brachos, there's no Nun in Asher in the beginning of Pesukim, because the Nun represents the Nachash, and the Nachash has no Chelek in the Torah. The menorah represents Torah Shabbat Peh. We know this famous book about Hanukkah versus Purim, right? Although even Purim is really also Chagatot Shabbat Peh. But the Chassover points out that the menorah represents Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the Shemen, and that's what the Pasuk says in Koheles, Tov Shem Mi Shemen Tov, and that refers to the mem of Shemen is Psucha. In other words, it's not a mem at the end of a word, it's an open mem, and therefore it's more on the Nachash. But Bitzalel, the Pasuk says that Re'e Karasi Veshem Bitzalel Ben Uri Ben Chor L'Matei Yehuda. So the word B'Shem has a mem stuma. The mem at the end of B'Shem is closed off because HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled up Bitzal with Chachmer. So Ruach Elokim with Chachmer B'Shuno V'Das. The Gemara in Megillah, when it describes the different Amorim who used to open up giving Shir on Megillah Sasser, which alluded to this Gemara last night, Pasuk is V'Hayo. So one of the drushes they would give is the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, V'Hayo. No, sorry, the Pasuk read in the Haftorah today, V'Hayo LaHashem L'Shem L'Osolam L'Yikari. So why is the Megillah referred to the Shem? So he says, because that's a reference to Torah Shebichsav, because that's Megillah Sasser, and he says that the menorah in four is a reference to Torah Shebal Peh, which is symbolic of Hanukkah. So then the Chassid points out also that Bitzalel was only right to get Ruach Chachma once his grandfather Chur died, and or was killed, and he was no longer overshadowed by his grandfather. After Chur died, Bitzalel was given the ability to be Mitzarif Osios. Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Hei. The Gemara says that Bitzalel had a special kalach to be Mitzarif Osios and to somehow create the Mishkan and to create Shemos of Hashem. And he says, but the problem was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to run it by Klal Yisrael first, because it was a reminder of the eagle, and Klal Yisrael, if they were to be embarrassed that they had killed Chur, his grandfather, Hashem would not have allowed Bitzal to become appointed as the one in the head, as the charge of the Mishkan, because he took pity on Klal Yisrael's kavod. L'maaseh, they allowed it. L'maaseh, they were okay with it. But Hashem would have been chas on their kavod had they not been. Fine. Then Okay, yeah. So then, oh, so the Chazan talks about in the context of Shabbos, in the end of the first Aliyah, the Pesukim start talking about Shabbos. So he says that Shabbos is even more chashuv than Briyas HaOlam, because we know that Shabbos is Docha the Mishkan, but we know that, of course, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, to show you the importance, right? Ki'ilu Kiyam Olam Aleim, a person saves even a single person, so it's as if they save the entire world. And he says also that Shabbos is that Shema is a Rashi tables for Shabbos, Mishkan, Olam, which are the three levels. Shabbos is Docha Mishkan, but Mekil Kiyam Olam Malay refers to saving a single life. That's Docha Shabbos. But he says that Klal Yisrael is Docha even that, and that's the Os Ki Ani Hashem Mekadi Shem. Hashem says that I'm the one who's going to sanctify you. Klal Yisrael is the most holy thing. Then the Chazan reports an interesting idea. The pasuk says, "Achas Shabbos Osai Tishmoru." So the Chazan says, "Don't do shvisa on Shabbos in order that your malacha during the week is going to be blessed and is going to be successful." But rather, he says, "You should do shvisa on Shabbos because the Kodesh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos because you are shutaf the ma'aseh bereishis, and that's why you shouldn't do malacha on Shabbos." And then also he says, through that you're going to come to know Hashem Ki Ani Hashem Mekadi Yishchem. You're going to come to know Hashem because Hashem gives you Chachma Yisira on Shabbos. One of the understandings of the Neshama Yisira on Shabbos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows you with extra levels of Chachma. When Chazan gives the whole Lamedish Pilpul, he says, when it comes to a Davar Shein, to a Davar Shein Miskavin on Shabbos, the din is that we know, make a din Davar Shein Miskavin, it's Machlokes Rabbi Yonah Rav Shimon, we pass him, like Rav Shimon, that a Davar Shein Miskavin is Pater. So he says like this, I would have said, if I'm ever doing Malacha on Shabbos, so I would have said that's called Malacha, B'li Kavana, and you're really Pater. So Kamash, the Torah says, Malachas Machshavas. There's a special din, in order to be Chayav from Malacha on Shabbos, it needs to be in this format, either after the Mishkan, or has to be creative or whatever, however you want to understand that, it needs to be in the pattern of Malachas Machshavas. Then he says, I would have said that the Malachas HaMishkan is really Mutter on Shabbos, because you're not Mechumel HaMalacha anyway, right? When I'm building the Mishkan, I'm not intending to light a fire for the sake of lighting the fire. I'm doing it because I want to build the Mishkan. I'm doing all the Malachas to take light in the Mishkan. So he says that, but we see from the fact that Gemara and Shabbos and Sadi Zion points out that when I put the Krushim on the Agalos part of the process of Hotzava Achnasa, when it comes to putting the plinks up to the Mishkan, to building up the Mishkan, so he says, that should have been a lav of Mechamer, right? Mechamer is one of those tricky lavs. It's not really one of the lavs malachos technically, but the Gemara points out that there's an issur to call to your animal on Shabbos if it's going to come from outside the tchum. You're not allowed to call to your animal. So the Chazan says, I don't understand. He says he's trying to figure out the case here. He says that if the guy himself, in other words, if the guy is not pushing the animal himself, so then what's lav mechamer? You're not doing a maisa. If lav mechamer means I'm pushing the animal, so then that's a violation of shvisas behemah. So he says what's the chiddush of lav mechamer? What is lav mechamer adding on that we didn't already know? So he leaves it as a little bit of tzarachia. The Rishonim and Shabbos talk about this. Talk about what the nature of lav mechamer really is. Then the Chazan points out that the reason why we rest, he's a very interesting heart, he says, the reason why we rest on Shabbos is because Hashem rested, and not because it's a Zikr L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. If it was based on Yetzias Mitzrayim, then the Chazan says, Fakir, you should dafka be building the Mishkan on Shabbos, because the Mishkan is like the Tikkun from Chereigo, it's from leaving Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole goal was to get to the Mishkan. So dafka, we should build the Mishkan on Shabbos, if that was the reason. Obviously, the reason why resting on Shabbos is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested. Then he says, after the ego, so the Chazan says that we needed rayos to believe b'chiddush olam, to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But without those rayos, he says that Shabbos fundamentally is what we say in Kiddush, it's tchila mikra'i kodesh. Shabbos is the first of the holidays. If you look at Pesukim in Parshas Emor, Shabbos is actually listed as the first, as a prelude to all the chagim. Shabbos is listed first, because Shabbos is really the oath to chiddush olam, it's more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And then the Chazan has a fascinating heart also. The pasuk says, Kodesh hi lachem echa leha mosimas. The Gemara has a drusha. It says that he kodesh vein maaseh ha-kodesh. It's also given by Maisa Shabbos. So the Gemara says that Shabbos is holy, but the actions, the malacha that one would, if one were doing malacha on Shabbos, there's no kiddush in that. What does that mean? So the Chasover explains, well, let's say a guy is machal Shabbos b'meisa. A guy plants a tree on Shabbos. So the Chasover says that tree is not asur b'hana. How does he know that? Well, I mean, this is the drasha. What's the svar behind the drasha? So the Chazan says a fascinating thing. There's a din that, let's say, if a woman commits an act of bestiality, so not only is the woman chayev misa, but the animal is also killed. Ravigam behema yumas. Why is that? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, when Gemara Sanhedrin says, because we don't want people to see the animal walking around and saying, oh, look, that's the animal that was that caused the woman to be zanah, to put her to death. It's going to be a busha on her and on her family. So the Chazan says, but here, bedaf, we don't say that, because you have a guy's mechal Shabbos b'paresia. So here, the guy lost all of his status as being chas on him. So therefore, we dafka want to keep the tree that he planted around, so everyone knows that he was Mechal HaShabbos. So everyone knows that we're dafka not taking pity on him. The Chasover also points out that after Matan Torah, so it said it says Zachor in the Aseres Hadibros, because in the Aseres Hadibros in Yisro, Zachor is the lashon that's used for Shabbos, because we have no connection to Olam Hazeh after Matan Torah, but after the Chida Egal, so then we drop back down to this rule. So that's why it says Shamor in Parashat Eschanan, because that's the word that we use post Chida Egal. Then the Chasover also has an interesting remez. He has this remez in a different context earlier in Sefer Shmos, when he says the words B'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, right? V'shamru B'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos is a Rosh Hashanah for Bia. What is that referring to? He says, because the Talmud Chacham, the Gemara in Kesuvos points out, Talmud Chacham, the Leil Ona, the night they have Bia with their wives, is stopped on Friday night. And he says, when the Gemara points out, the Gemara Nida says, when a person times his Bia the right way, so he won't have a child on Shabbos and he won't come to have the Bris on Shabbos, so this way he'll avoid having to be Mechal on Shabbos. Again, obviously, this doesn't really play because we can't really tie anything, but he says in the times of the Gemara that the Hasidim and the Purushim and whoever the Tzadikim, they used to Davka plan their Bia, so this way they wouldn't have to be Mechal Shabbos based on birth and based on the Mila. The Chasover reports out that the Neshama Yisera we have are the crowns that the Malachim tied to our heads when we said Nasim and Nishma, and when the Malachim removed those crowns from our head, they were all given to Moshe. I mean, when that's at the end of the Parsha, the Pasuk says, Ki Karan or Panav, when Moshe's face lit up, is because he had all these crowns that we no longer had. On Shabbos, the Chasover says, Moshe gives us those crowns as a Matana, Yismach Moshe ben Matnas Chelko. The Chasover says, that's Pshat, he gives us the crowns as a Matana, then on Motzei Shabbos, he says he takes it away. But the Neshama Yisera was only given once we lost the crowns, because Moshe then took all the crowns away, and we would get those crowns back on Shabbos. Then the Chasover points out that they assumed that because Moshe didn't return, that the God that Moshe spoke to was merely an image. In other words, again, everyone asks the other question, how could Kashal possibly spend the Chereigo? Hello, they were just the Mount Torah, Yitzis Pitzrayim, the Makos, how could they fall so quickly? So Chasover says, it wasn't just like they just dropped out of nowhere. It was just, oh yeah, one day they went from Mount Torah to worshiping the Lord. He says it was a little bit more complicated than that. He says that they assumed that Moshe didn't return because they didn't, obviously no one had ever seen God except for Moshe, so they didn't really know what Hashem looked like, or if Hashem looked like anything. So they just assumed that the God that Moshe spoke to might have been an image. In other words, they have no way of knowing who the God that Moshe spoke to was. So he says, but the problem was that they didn't know what that image was. So why did they go to Aaron? They went to Aaron to replicate the image of the God that Moshe served. In other words, they thought that that was what Moshe Rabbeinu served. So they said, okay, let's reenact the God that Moshe served, and let's continue following him. Fine. Then Chasover, this is just like a hilarious piece, but I can't really explain it. Chasover quotes from Alam Dan Echad. He says, Alam Dan Echad asked him the following Shaila. Here in Parshas Kisisa, it says, Asher Ha'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim with a Vav. But in Sefer Nechemiah, it says, Ha'elucha with that Vav. It says, Ha'elucha Chaser. That was what Alam Dan asked him. And apparently, Alam Dan were learning Sefer Nechemiah. Whatever. He has his whole answer based on Shituf and based on whether they were really the Meshatif, the Shemos with other gods. But I was just cute, like, he called them Alam Dan. Fine. So when Moshe comes back from Har Sinai, he comes out to Aaron and he says, you know, like, basically, what's the deal? What's going on? So Moshe said that the chid was because they got up early in the morning. Vayashkimu mimacharas. They got up early in the morning to go run to do their avodas. They were zuzim akdim, not lemitzvah, obviously. And because Aaron said chag la Hashem machar, right? So why did Aaron say chag la Hashem machar? Because Aaron was not al safek belibam. Aaron was trying to stall for Moshe to come back, but Aaron said to Moshe ki virahu, meaning Moshe comes down and basically yells at Aaron and says, Aaron, what did you do? Why did you give him this false impression that you were actually going to make a festival for this idol? So Aaron said, what do you have to give me a chanting for? He says, Atoyagata esam kivaro. These people are evil anyway. He says, they're fundamentally evil. Even if I didn't say anything, they would have done this on their own. It's not my problem. And then he says, so we know that the very odd episode at the end of Sheni, at the end of really, 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 two really, really long aliyos, where most people are probably not spaced in, but the very end of two of those very long aliyos, it's a very strange conversation happened between Yehoshua and Moshe. The Pasuk says that Yehoshua says, Kol milchama b'machaneh, and Moshe says, In kol anos kvurav, in kol anos chalusha, kol anos anochi shana. It's very, very strange, very vague, what do those psukim actually mean? So the Chasover explains that Yehoshua heard the call of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Moshe could not hear that call because he wasn't going to enter Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua was too scared to tell it to Moshe. Tell Moshe about the call of Churban. He didn't want to tell it to Moshe because he wasn't going to enter Eretz Yisrael in the first place. Then it also explains this psukim. So Chasover says that Yehoshua thought that the call trua that they were hearing were those people who were going out to Melchama to fight for Hashem, and the call Anos Chalusha, the people who were kvetching and crying, were the people who had been attacked at war who were injured. But Moshe told them it's fakir, it's now the opposite. The people who are yelling and screaming and blowing shofar, those people who are doing the chereigel. People who are crying are the tzaddikim who are trying to stay away from it. So it says that you know, Yoshua didn't understand what the mitzias was. The Lechazar is a fascinating heart. It was clear, it has a similar idea also, but the reason why Moshe broke Luchos, so a lot of different people give why Moshe broke the Luchos, what was his justification, is that he also wanted to be Chayiv Misa together with Klal Yisrael, because this way he couldn't start a new nation, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, he says, I'm going to wipe everyone out, I'm going to start a new nation fresh with you. So Moshe says, oh yeah, I'm going to smash the Luchos. And he says, try to start a new nation now. So he says, you're going to make me Chayiv Misa. He says, there's no way, right? Obviously, the story that Rashi gives is that, well, the table with three legs couldn't stand, so how am I going to stand with one leg? But Chazar says it was a much more radical, you know, much more radical statement than that. Moshe Dafka smashed was almost in Hashem's face to say, "You're not starting a new nation with me either. Either it's all of us or none of us." Then the Chazar also points out that Moshe smashed the luchos le'ein echet. He smashed it in front of Klal Yisrael because they were already considered what Chazar calls money tavered. They were like shattered kelim. They were already considered broken, and therefore he did it in front of them. Klal Yisrael thought he was smashing shleimim because it looked like a whole tablet he was smashing. But in reality, it was kelim. It was already tavered. It was already considered like it was shattered. Then we know also that originally when Klal Yisrael came looking for Achid HaEgel, they were looking for an intermediary, right? That's all they were looking for originally, but now they were actually looking for a god. But he says the thing is that they should have gone to the Levim, because the Levim represent Din. Aaron was symbolic of Chesed. So they told Aaron that they were looking for an intermediary, so they actually tricked Aaron. In other words, Aaron assisted them on the assumption that they were really looking for an intermediary, when in reality they were actually looking for a god. That's why Aaron said, when he realized what they were doing, Hivarahu. Their intentions all along were really evil. They really were looking for a god and not just for an intermediary. And then the Chazal reports that similarly, that they thought that the eagle was like a Mora Derech. They thought it was going to like instruct them about what to do, and therefore Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to judge them like Rishayim. And also, even though Aaron, so this is a fascinating story, Chazal says that even though Aaron had good intentions in what he was doing, he was trying to stall, he was trying to delay, or he was pretending like you know, nothing would happen, Moshe reprimanded him because he says that yes, what you were doing was good, but he says the Kshirim in Klal Yisrael never would have gone through with this had they not seen you doing it. They're like, oh, well, if Aaron's doing it, it must be okay. In other words, the people who were like on the fence, only once they see Aaron doing it, they're like, oh, you know, so I can go along with it. So Moshe reprimanded Aaron for that. He says, you caused the Kshirim to go along with something which they would have stayed away from originally. And then Aaron has to respond. He says, what do you mean? He says, I told them his sparkun is mehasahav to go bring the jewelry from their wives and kids. And he says, you know, I never thought they would actually bring it, but he said, again, Moshe was faulting him for that. We know there's a very famous medrash, potentially Chafetz Chaim in Parshas Vayelech, speaks about when the pasuk says the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech says that Hashem says to Moshe, "Hin karu yamecha lamos." Behold, your days are coming close to die. And Moshe says, "Why are you using the word hin, which implies something definitive, like I'm for sure going to die? There's no hope, there's no recourse." So Hashem says to Moshe, "It's a punishment because you said in Parshas Shmos the hin lo yamin, the Klal Yisrael is for sure not going to believe me." So Chazal talks about, you know, obviously Shmir Salashim and being careful about your words, and even a two-letter word stealing Moshe's fate. But the Chazal here points out a little bit of a different spin. He says that Moshe included himself as part of the chid here by the chid ha'igel, right? He says, we read today, Moshe included himself in the plural, we. In other words, so Moshe kind of pinned himself as part of this chid along with everyone else. Another Chazal is a fascinating ha'ara. He says that the man fell on the day of the eagle. He says, why was that so? Why? He says, why? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to stick it to Klal Yisrael to show that you picked the wrong team by banning the eagle, why do you say, okay, that's it, the man's going to stop? Why did the man fall on the eagle? So this is the following very long dishavar. He says, the din is, the Gemara Ksuba says, that if a husband's supporting his wife and kids, so there's a certain shibudin that the wife has to write, she has Maisi Adam, Mitzia, and all those different things, she's Meshuba to her husband to give. But if the husband is not supporting, is not... 620. If the husband's not supporting the wife, either because she refuses it or because time he's just not supporting her, so then it says that the wife has no shibunu towards the husband. So Chassid says like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka brought the man on the day of the Egel in order that the women and children would not be mishu, but not be relying on their husbands. And this way, when the husbands forcibly took the Nizmeh Hazav, it really didn't belong to them in the first place. And this way, Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shalom. When they gave it for Oser, there was a Maisa involved. And when you do a Maisa, it doesn't matter, you know, Oser Davar Sheino Shalom. Since Aaron had good intentions when he was doing, it wasn't really a Maisa of Oser in the first place. There was no Kavanah for Oser there at all. Okay, fine. Then Chasam Sover says that. He goes to scripture. He says that someone once wrote to the Radvaz that Klal Yisrael thought that Moshe was a god. That was their mistake with Chereigel. And the Radva said, "I'm going to put you into Chirem if you're not Chozer Bo." So he says that the Pshat was that the people bowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Shekhinah, but they also positioned the tent in such a way that they would also bow to Moshe and show him his kavod. Not Nitzan Avodah Zarah. They were doing it out of kavod for Moshe. Fine. Then the concept is interesting. The Gemara Chagiga, when it talks about the Ma'aser Merkava, so there were four different faces, so to speak, on the Malachim that Yechezkel saw. So he says that in one place there's the Kruv, and in one place there's there's a Shor. So he says that the Shor is replaced with the Kruv the second time, and the Kruv comes first, even though the Shor was mentioned third. The reason is because B'makom Shabali Tshuva Omdin Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdin. The Shor is the Cheda Egal, so once we get a Kapar for the Cheda Egal, so now the Kruvim replaces the Cheda Egal, now it's bumped up to first, because the Tzadikim Gemurim, because the Bali Tshuva stand where the Tzadikim Gemurim can't stand. Okay, there's a whole discussion also, which we'll see in the Kliyakar coming up, which is that the whole question about how Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see Schar Olam Haba, right? This is the whole discussion. After the Chereigel story, the parsha gets very, very esoteric about different inyanim, and Moshe wanted to see Kol Hashem's face, and Hashem was, "I'm only going to show you my back." So those are, as we'll see in the Kliyakar in a second, those are all inyanim that relate to Schar Olam Haba.
Moshe never saw him?
Moshe never saw Hashem's face.
That make it, but he's seen his...
Well, okay, we have to get the Torah. Okay, maybe, I don't know. I don't really know what that is. Okay, so then we get into the Kliyakar now. So, So the Kliyakar points out that, you know, in the beginning of the parasha, we're counted with Machas HaShekel. He says that we're compared to stars to show that we're still Chashem even after the Cheda Egel. It's kind of like, you know, by Reuven, right? It says, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar, even after Reuven's Cheda with Bilhah. And he says we're counted in the Midbar because the Gemara points out that you need 22,000 people in order to affect the Hashras HaShechinah. The Gemara learns on the Pasuk of Uvnucho Yomar that they had 22,000 people there to affect the Hashras HaShechinah. Okay. And he says also the significance of counting someone is that when you're part of an am, so you don't stand out. You're just like everyone else. When you're counted, you become like an individual. This whole shot, a lot of the Rishonim say the Gemara is in Zvachim. The Gemara talks about how a Dover Chashuv is not Batel. The Gemara talks about how a Bali Chayim are not Batel because they stand independently. They stand on their own. They have a certain level of Chashivas. Okay. Now, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So. We know, Moshe was very hesitant about taking money forcibly from Klal Yisrael, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him Ki Sisa Es Rosh, appoint a head of the Shevet, and they can go collect even for those people who don't want to give because they'll feel more comfortable giving to the Rosh HaShevet. Then the Kliyakar points out that the Machatz HaShekel is a schus for Hashem because of all the neshamas that he created, or it doesn't allow for Gas Saruach. This is where we spoke about by Truma. The Kliyakar made this point that all the amounts, the first two Trumas that were given, were all equal because, right, Hashir lo Yerbeva Hadal lo Yamin Machatz HaShekel, it's all the same amount. The Kliyakar puts it also that in Parshas Truma, the donations were all for things that were only l'sha. I mean, they were given for the karbanos, the Kliya Mishkan, for the adonim of the Mishkan. But he says, Parshas Kisisa, this is a count, like a census, which can happen in Klal Yisrael, you know, time and time again. And he says that, therefore, he says there was a different denomination and a different count for this one. Then the Kliyakar quotes three reasons why we give Machatz HaShekel. The first reason he says is because the Egel caused Shviras HaLuchos is kind of like a kapara for that. And he says, second shot is that it's a form of kofar nefesh. And he says physically there's no difference between different people. He says all of our differences between one person and another. Gemara Nida says stems from the fact that we have Shlosh Shutz in Ba'adam, and the Gemara says that our 10 physical traits that we have in our body come from our parents. He says in that regard we are different from other people. And the third shot the Kliyakar says is that Moshe thought that the kapara should either be for Avodah Zarah, Lashon Hara, Gili Arayos, or Shvichas Damim. And he says that this is the Medrash we spoke about before, the different prices that he gave for the Machatz HaShekel, 20, 30, 50, 100. And he says that, again, it depends on how we serve Hashem, and he's quotes by Chur. So he says that if we're Oved Hashem properly, so then we're Kibanim, and if V'im Lav, then Harein Kalvad, so by an evidence that you pay 30. Again, kind of these similar ideas. Then the Kli Yakar notes an interesting idea that Moshe represented the Shem and HaMishkan. That's why it says Va'atakach Lecha B'Samim Rosh. Referring to Moshe, because the Shem and because Moshe was one who anointed the Kohanim and the Kelim and the Mishkan and whatever. And he says that the word Ner times 2 in Gematria is 500. 500 are the measurements for a lot of the things here, right? A lot of the measurements are 500. And we know the Gemara in Baba Basra says that Moshe was Kipnei Chama, right? Pnei Moshe Kipnei Chama, that his face was like radiated light. And this Shem and HaMishkan was used, L'doro Sechem, was used for future generations to anoint the Kelim of the Mikdash. Fascinating. The Kli Yakar says, you know, the famous, by the Torahs, we incorporate the Chelbenah. Chelbenah is one of the 11 ingredients. It's a foul-smelling thing. Mark Kriso says, because even the Poshet Yisrael have to be incorporated into our Tila on a Tainus Tzibur. So the Kli Yakar says, why do you have to have Poshet Yisrael in your Tila for a Tainus Tzibur? It says the following. He says, if you don't have the Poshet Yisrael, then you're going to be a Chote. Why would you be a Chote? Because the Gemara says, in Tainus, the Gemara, at least according to one sheet of the Gemara, that a Nazir is called a Chote. Right? One of the reasons why the Nazir has to bring a Chata is because he sinned by being mafresh from Tanugi Olam Hazeh. So he says the only excuse you have to daven, to fast, is if you have a sinner mamish in your midst. If a poche Yisrael is in your midst, so that's the reason you want to daven for him on his behalf. But he says, if you're not in your midst, so then you have no excuse to be fasting, because you have no excuse to be poorish from Tanugi Olam Hazeh. Then another Pshat, the Kli Yakar says, he doesn't understand Pshat. The Gemara at the end of Chagiga says, Gemara has a famous drasha, Kefela Harimon Rakaseh, Kesen Shirash Hirim. So the Gemara says that Afilu Rekonin Shabach Malayan Mitzvos Karimon. The Gemara says, even the most empty people in Klal Yisrael are full of Mitzvos Karimon. So he says, make up your mind. Either they're Rekonin or they're Malayan Mitzvos Karimon. How could they be both? So the Kli Yakar says that they're so bad that when they do tshuva, that all their donors are nasa and kiskuyo, so they're going to become mamish Malay and Karimon. They used to be Reikon, and now they're going to be Malay and Mitzvos Karimon because they did tshuva. Then the pasuk says, "Vatod that Rabbi Yisrael, and we're ach as Shabbos society. Shabbos is written in the plural. Things go on Shabbos. If you keep two Shabbos, so then you're gonna bring geula, and that's gonna lead to the Shem and Hamishkan, the Beis Hamikdash being something which is gonna be around forever, because the Torah uses the word li in that context. The Kli Yakar points out whenever the word li is employed, usually refers to something which is gonna be l'doros echem. But here by the Shem and Hamishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, we don't have that today. It says it's al tenai that you keep Shabbos ach as Shabbos society. If you keep Shabbos, keep two Shabbos, so then you're gonna have that. He says that also explains why the Mishkan is not doch Shabbos, because the Shabbos is the thing that the Mishkan's tali on. We don't have the Mishkan back until we keep two Shabbosos. Then the Kli Yakar points out that the pasuk Vayitena Moshe Kechal Oso. So he says Kechal Oso is a reference to Kala, because she's adorned with the Chavdal Kishutin. And the Kli Yakar says because Aaron took the blame for the eagle himself, he was zochet to have the Chavdal and Matnus Kuhuna. The Kli Yakar points out that the Erev Rav thought that Moshe had his koach from a certain star, from a mazel of shore, and this is the theme of the Kli Yakar Lai, talks about how the mazel of shore is something which they thought would provide them with a lot of wealth. And it says that's why they also thought, the Kli Yakar said, that's why they took the bones of Yosef, because Yosef was b'chor shore, thought he would get all of their hashpa from Yosef, and that's why he took it. Aaron also thought that you would need to have at least a couple of days to bring the eagle out of the fire, but the Erev Rav worked their kishuf, and, you know, out came the eagle. Okay, fine. Now, fine. That was something I said before. Okay, that's right. When the Aaron also tried slowing them by saying you have to build a mizbeach and chag l'Hashem achar, and they had a lot of reasons. They woke up in the morning and they built it. They built it very quickly. Okay, now. The Kli Yakar points out that when Vayichal Moshe's Pnei Hashem Alokav, so Moshe basically comes to Hashem, and he has five tainas here that he had to Hashem, and he says, why are you getting angry at Klal Yisrael? So first taina was, right, why are you getting angry at Klal Yisrael if this is really from the Erev? It's not really their fault. The whole story is happening because of the Erev. Number two, he said, they were in Mitzrayim, which is a land full of Avodah Zarah, so what do you want for them? The Gemara says, like, if you hang the you wash up the kid and put a wallet around his neck, put him in front of Beis Hazonah, so like, what do you want from him? You're setting him up for Avera. So number three, he says that you already took them out of Mitzrayim b'choach gadol. So he says now it's they were muchzak as of the Avodah Zarah. In other words, it was so hard for you to take them out. It required so much koach for you to take them out, right? It requires so much koach that now, you know, to punish them now is going to show you. In other words, the Kli Yakar says that we already know that they're muchzak as of the Avodah Zarah, and hence there's no chiddush now calling them the Avodah Zarah by the ego. Number four, he says that you took them out, and you had pity on them already, so why would you now punish them? And number five, he says if you punish the people, they're going to see that this is what happens to Geirim, because it's because of the Erev of Rav. So therefore, Hashem decided not to wipe them completely, but only to punish them a little bit. Then he says also, as long as the letters on the luchos would remain, so Klai Yisrael would continue to survive. The letters had a certain sense of mamashus. And then also another reason he gives why the Moshe broke the luchos is because Moshe ripped up the shtar chov. The din is that if I have a shtar chov against you and I tear it up, so then there's no more shtar chov. You can't assume you have no. I mean, obviously, you can't prove it. Moshe Mamsh tore up the shtar chov that said the Klal Yisrael was supposed to get punished. Was supposed to, you know, they said by Chedeg, Moshe completely tore that up. Then also, Kliyoker points out that the term the pasuk says it says Vayar Moshe Som Ki Faruhu Ki Firaoa Harun Mishim Tzav Kamei Have that Harun uncovered the word Paru is to uncover their faults. So the Kliyoker points out that the term Paru is associated with a Mitzora, right? We see this as a term Priya Uprima by a Mitzora, right? The Mitzora who's Muskar or Muklat has different dinim where he has to be you have to uncover. So Parah is as Rosh Show. So he says the term Paru is associated with the Mitzora because Saras is something which uncovers your Chatan because it shows everyone what you did. Then the problem is that, well, if all Klai Yisrael have the din of a Mitzorah, so how the din of a Mitzorah have to be kicked out of Michutz L'Machareh? You can't kick out all Klai Yisrael, they are the Machareh. So Kliyoker says, that's why the Pasuk says that Moshe, moved his tent. The Pasuk says, what's the Pasuk exactly? It says that he was Nata'a Halo. Michutz L'Machareh. So Moshe basically picked up his tent and moved it somewhere else. So this way, and it says, V'kara lo ol moed, v'hayokom v'akesh Hashem, yitzei alo ol moed. In other words, Asher Michutz L'Machareh. He dafka made the ol moed outside the Machareh. He picked up the ol moed and moved it outside the Machareh. So this way, all classes will be there. They will be like Ilu, they were outside the Machareh. Then also another chat he quotes is that Tzaras represents a cheshchas ha'ayin, darkening of the eye, because they were jealous of Moshe's wealth and of his position of power. And the Kliyoker points out also that Moshe tried downplaying the eagle in Hashem's eyes by saying it's not as bad as Gilui Arayos and Shfichus Damim because he says that Kilu, he said to Hashem, it's like what do you want from us? You give us all this wealth, right? It's Rashi and Devarim, right? The Diza of, you give us all this wealth, what do you want from us? Of course you're going to sit with the eagle if you give us all of this wealth. Then also he points out the pasuk says by the lo shasu ish ed yoalav, right? That after the eagles, the Klal Yisrael lost their crowns. There were two different crowns. One crown they got were just kantas shitim. The other crown, after they said nasev v'nishm, that's the thing of that crown. And this is the whole parsha where Moshe wanted to know Hashem's ways. So the Kliyoker explains that Moshe was trying to convince Hashem that I need to know your ways so this way I can relate and understand, speak to other people and understand their issues. But Hashem said that you're only going to know, you know, v'ra'isa sacharai fanei. Okay. Then Moshe, again, as we mentioned before, Moshe wanted to see schar olam haba. And then the Kliyoker said, Diyak also, the Pasuk says in Parshas Tosa Bracha, Arayama Acharon. So the Medrash says, Arayoma Acharon. The Moshe was shown everything that would happen until the end of days, but Lafuke is Schar Olam Haba. Schar Olam Haba was beyond the end of days. So Moshe was not going to see that. And then the Kliyoker also points out, the Pasuk says, right, we said in Slicha, Ashley Hashem Al Ribayim, right, that the sin of Avodah Zarah is so great that it has to be spread out over generations. It can't be given all at once. Last one. Okay, so the pasuk in the parsha says Vayitein al panav masveh, that Moshe had a mask on his face. So Kliyoker is a following fascinating hara. He says when Moshe was in front of Klal Yisrael, so he had the mask on because he was ashamed of, you know, this light coming off his face. So he obviously was radiating light. He was an amazing person. He was too embarrassed to display that. But when he came in front of Hashem, Yosiras HaMasveh Atzis, he took off the mask because he removed it because the mission of says Lo HaBayish HaLamid. So in other words, he dafka had to come in with all of his kokos. He had to dafka show his gaiva a little bit when he came in with Hashem. When he left, then he put the mask back. Just gotta crawl.